Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians, and we're going to do something a little differently here this morning, and that is we've got a teenager who'd like to just give a testimony, and came and asked if he could do that, and I said yes, absolutely, and like to ask Josue to come on up, and would you like to stand up here or do it right there? Okay, all right, come on up, Josue, and I've been praying with Josue for a little while, as long as he's been coming. The Lord's been working in his life, and Lord willing, here in a couple of weeks, he's going to be baptized. But he's got something on his heart that he'd like to share with us. So go ahead, Josue.
Josue, and I'm very grateful with God because he has been so good with me, so good to me, and I know he has been good to all of us. I want to share a testimony. And so last year, one of my teachers that was sick, and he was like, I think he passed away. I'm not sure what happened. I really don't know. But so that was the first time I prayed for her dad to be used. I prayed God that he will heal him. And then my teacher had to go to her country. I think she's from Europe. And so when she came back, she said, thank God my dad is okay. Thank God. Hearing. So I was like, wow, this is amazing, this is awesome. And so that motivated me to, my faith was growing, and I was starting to feel confident about God and about Jesus. I didn't know about him much, but I do now, and he's awesome. And then with time was passing, and one of my teachers had cancer, and he got a surgery. So I prayed for him a lot, and I told God, I pray that you will take care of him, I pray that you will heal him, I pray that you will fill him of your strength, with your strength, I pray that he will be just fine. And day time was passing, and he's just okay, he's fine, he's alive, God saved him, and I'm so grateful with him, and that was so awesome. And so my confidence with him was growing, my faith was growing. I didn't even know that was growing. I was like, how can my faith grow? How can I feel more confident about God? How can I feel more confident about my God? Because, wow, he's so awesome. He's amazing. And so, time passed. And then, I started, like, I asked God, how can I feel you? How can I feel you in my heart? How can I love you more? And then, I don't know how, but I started listening to worship music, and I started feeling Jesus in my heart. And the Holy Spirit working in me, and the first day that it happened, I was like, it is really you? Because this is so amazing, like, wow, this is just different. I had never felt this in my heart. So it was like my heart was up, you know, it was like working like this. I don't know, it was just pure love. And I was like, this is awesome. But then when I started listening to worship music, it didn't feel the same. It was like, it was me again. I was like, I know this is not how God works. This is not how God wants to function in me. So I asked God, God, I want to feel you, Jesus. I want to feel you every day, day and night, even if I listen to worship music, or if I don't, even if I pray when I don't, even if I'm just lose you all the time, because it's all the time for us. So I was like, that like get in my head that he's like 24/7 for us. And so I was like, so if you are 24/7 for me, then I want to feel you 24/7, like the whole day. It doesn't matter how it's going to work, because I know that you are going to make it work. I don't have to worry about it. I just have to pray and ask you, because I know that it will be a great blessing to feel you, Jesus. I want to love you more. I want to feel you day and night. And so time was passing, and then God, like, started working in me, and then the Holy Spirit was functioning in me. I didn't even notice that it was the Holy Spirit functioning in me, but it was so awesome. I feel so great. I feel full of joy. And then I was like in a place where I feel like at some point I feel like really sad, like with negative thoughts, negative ideas, and that thing was like retaining me, and I was like afraid to fight it. But now that I think about it, that thing was afraid of me to fight it, because when I started rejoicing in Jesus, when I started feeling him, I didn't feel that anymore. All I feel is Jesus. All I feel in my heart is the pure love of God, peace, joy, happiness. At some points, I didn't even smile at all after being a Christian. I couldn't smile. Even Leah knows that I couldn't smile at all, because she said always ask me to smile when we take pictures. And I was like, I can't, I don't know how, because I just don't got that feeling. Like, I don't feel like smiling, even if I try. And I was, and it was like my heart was full of anger and full of, I don't know, frustration. I didn't even know that was affecting my heart. So I asked God, how can this be different? How can I don't know, but I just let the Holy Spirit guide me, because I was trusting in Jesus so much, and I want to love Him so much. So I said, so I will not feel this way. And I didn't even have the words to say. I didn't even have the word I got right now. Didn't even have the confidence I do right now. I'm just excited. And so I was like, I don't want to feel this way. I don't have the voice to pray, because I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't even know how to talk to people. I was so in the world that I didn't even notice that that was affecting my brain so much, and all my mind, and my mind was so focused in things that don't have to do nothing with Jesus. It was focusing so much in probably living the next day that I didn't even know it was going to exist. So I was like, at some point, I felt disappointed because I wasn't living what I already planned in my mouth. But then Jesus started guiding me, and started telling me that I don't have to worry no more about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about what God has planned for me. It's like it's like a gift. And so I must live it. I must enjoy it, how God has planned it for me, and don't have to worry about it for anything. And so that started happening. And so this past week, one of my family members tested positive to COVID. And so we worked with them because we were at his house on the 31, I think. And so then when I heard that he was sick, I prayed for him. And I prayed, Father, I know you will take care of us. I know that you will take care of my family. I know that I'm not sick. I know that I will not test positive to COVID, neither other of my family members. And then, for some reason, my uncle take the baby to test her, and she tests negative. And I was like, I know, I already knew it. I knew as soon as I said, God, you will heal me, God, you will protect us, God, you will take care of me. I knew that whatever that is, whatever the virus is, that was not going to touch my family, that was not going to touch my house, and I know that I was healed. And so that was so awesome, and my faith kept growing and growing. I felt so more confident about Jesus, about God. And so I was like, I don't know what to do more, but I will let the Holy Spirit guide me and to give me the knowledge, give me the wisdom, because I always ask God for the blessing of having the wisdom of Jesus, for the blessing of having His knowledge, His confidence, His faith, how faithful He was. And before something like, I don't know, something around me, influencing me, something like probably is doing, someone does something bad that is not right in the eyes of God, I always pray and ask Jesus about Him always influencing me, good stuff before whatever that is that I don't want in my mind, and I know that God doesn't want me to have it. So it's like, Jesus, please, I want you to influence me good things before this person can influence me anything he's saying, or before any thoughts or bad ideas getting me. So it's like, and so I get to a point where I started saying, my influences come from Jesus and only Him, and that is the only one that I want to have, because He's first and last. And so that started getting in my head. I started believing Him more. I started seeing Him more. I started feeling Him more. And at first I just feel Him in my heart, and then it was like in my brain. And then I started calling the Holy Spirit. I once asked what it feels to feel your soul, what it feels to have a soul, because supposedly I do have one, but I don't feel it. And so with time, I started feeling my soul. My faith started growing. I started feeling Jesus more. And I can feel my soul, right here on my chest, right now, because every time I pray, every time I talk about God, it's like, I know He's rejoicing. I know He is enjoying me. I know I'm honoring Him, and I know I'm representing Him. And I know He's not a shame to say that I'm His child, so we shouldn't be ashamed to say He's our God. We shouldn't be ashamed to say Jesus is our Savior, our King. We must say it with love and feel positive about it. And so the more you say it, the more confident you will feel. That you will get the feeling, the emotion, the peace, the joy, because the name of Jesus has power, and His power is so awesome and He's so amazing, and you will start knowing Him more and understanding Him more. And that is just going to be a great blessing, because He's a great blessing. He's our first blessing. And you must see it that way, because when you see it that way, it's like you start rejoicing. You just feel happy. You don't feel sad no more. I sometimes, if you ask me now, even forgot that sadness existed, because I just don't feel sad. I just feel happy, excited. I feel love. I just love you all of you, because you are my family in Christ, and I'm just proud of all of you, even that I don't know you that much. I just love you so much, because it's how our fathers love us. I don't need to know you to tell you that you are a blessing for me, that I'm proud of you, that you are someone for God, that you are His child. We are all are His child, and I'm not afraid to say that, wow, He's my God, He's my Savior. I'm not afraid to talk about with anyone. I'm just thankful that I can do it now, and I feel so confident. And the more I talk about God, the more I talk about our Father, the more happy I get, the more happy He gets, and the more I honor Him, the more I glorify His name, and the more I praise Him. And you must do it like for His glory, because He's so satisfying to say it, because He's so awesome, and He's just proud of us all. He loves us all, and you must get that in your head, because you probably know that. I was like, at some point, I read this, God is loving. I was like, God is love, but how can I feel His love if I wasn't even feeling Him? And so that started growing and growing and growing and growing. And it's so amazing. Like, you don't get sad. You don't feel sad. You just don't worry about anything. You just worry about praying. We're not even worrying, because God is putting in your mind. God is putting in your mind. God is telling you what He wants you to do, so you can feel Him, so you can rejoice in Him, so you can feel confident about yourself. If you don't know how to talk with someone, I didn't have the confidence to come here at first when I just started coming to church. But now I do, because I'm like, I don't have the words, but I know God will give me them. I just trust Him enough, and I know that He will give me, He will make me say what He wants me to say and what He wants all of you to hear. And so that is so awesome that I can trust Him in that way. And that is so awesome that He will always put me that word, that He will always give me that confidence. And I know that if I got Jesus, then I know that I got everything in life, because I'm just out of that world, whatever that is, whatever that was, it doesn't matter no more. What matters is that Jesus is my world, He's my life, I got a heart for Him, I got a brain for Him, I got His wisdom, and I believe it, and I say it, and I know that He will never fail me, even if I don't feel enough confident to say it. I know that He will never fail me if I tell someone, you know that God loves you, I know that He will make them feel it. If I ask God, as if I pray Him, God, I pray that all of us will feel Your love right now, then I know that all of us will feel, because we all can feel God, we all can feel Jesus, we all can feel the Holy Spirit working in us. We all can see how it functions, because God gave us a great illumination. He has given me clarity to my eyes. I can wake up in the morning and see, like, it's a new day, man. I'm in this world, and I'm living in this world. Wow, God's creation is so awesome. And
Josue, I appreciate it this morning. Let's go ahead and ask God's blessing on what Josue. Excitement about serving You, Lord, and Lord, what You've been doing in his heart. Thank You for his testimony today. Lord, I pray that all of us would have the zeal, Lord, that he has. And Lord, I pray that You would continue to grow that confidence that he has in You. And Father, help each one of us, Lord, to take those steps as well. Lord, thank You for his testimony. We pray, God, that You be with us the remaining time we have. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Josue. I appreciate it. Let's give Josue a hand. All right, Josue was preaching up here, man. He was tearing it up. All right, go ahead, take your Bibles, Colossians, and we're looking right almost into chapter 4. We've got a few verses left to deal with here, but if you remember the context of the church at Colossae, they were struggling with things. Temple Baptist Church struggles with things. Every church struggles with things. There's no perfect church because there are no perfect people, and you and I are a part of this one, and that's what makes this church imperfect. But we do have the Word of God, and we do have things that the Lord would have us as individuals, but also as a church to work on. We have a window in as to what some of the struggles there in Colossae, And some of those issues that they were dealing with as a church were to do with the pressures that we're putting on them. You and I live in a day in which we have a tremendous amount of pressure upon us. The divide between what right looks like and what wrong looks like is becoming increasingly more obvious as the world goes in one direction, and of course Christians and the Bible and the church stays where it needs to be. And so these pressures were building for Colossae, and they're building for us. But you'll notice as we go to chapter 3, we've been here, Paul gives us another way to live. He says, look, there is a heavenly way to live. There's a right way to overcome temptation, to overcome sin. And that starts with mortifying your flesh. Put to death your flesh. Those desires for fornication or uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, they're in verse 5. There's things that we need to suppress, put to death in our lives. And then he says in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So we put those things off. We count them as dead. They don't have power over me. And in place of those things, we put on the kindness, the love, the love for each other that Paul talks about here. As we go down to verse 14, and it says, and above all these things, put on charity, love, we could say, which is the bond of perfectness. In other words, everything you do, everything you think and say ought to be wrapped and robed in love. And let the peace of God, verse 15, rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So he's talking about letting peace rule your life. Don't let anger or bitterness rule over you, but allow the peace of God in your heart to rule your conversations, your actions. Allow that to rule. And in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell. And let it dwell richly or abundantly. That means as we sit in Sunday school, allow the word of God to seep into your heart and allow it to affect you. You know, there are a lot of people that never get to this step because they come in with their hands up and a wall up between them and God and them and maybe somebody else. And that they're thinking about that, and or maybe their focus is somewhere. And so the word of God doesn't seep into their heart as it should. Well, he says, hey, let God's word dwell, abide in you, and let it abide abundantly in wisdom. Take it in. Think about how you can use that verse, use that principle, use that thought in your life, and use it with wisdom. And then notice what I believe is the result of that. Okay, somebody who has done that, somebody who's allowed the Word of God to affect them, okay, what goes in must come out. Okay, you sit in the television. You sit before the television all week long. You listen to filthy communication. You watch filthy things. Do not be surprised when that comes out. Okay, what you put in is what is going to come out. And that for that very reason, if you're a Christian and you're trying to live for the Lord, but you're also allowing all this bad stuff to intake, you'll never win that battle. Okay, you'll never win that battle. The Apostle Paul says, hey, cut that stuff off. Fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God and watch how that begins to affect you. And for someone who allows that process to take place, I believe there are results here that have to do with, what does he say, teaching and admonishing. Okay, so somebody who allows the Word of God to seep into their heart is someone who will eventually teach others. Okay, you take somebody that has a great interest in you fill in the blank. Whatever your great interest is, the more you read about it, the more you absorb, you will not be able to restrain yourself from talking to your friends about it. It's just going to come out at some point in time. You're going to want to talk about it. It's sort of the next level that shows that you have a great interest in something. Well, the same is true for the Word of God. The person who is truly absorbing, listening, and receiving the Word of God and allow it to sit and seep into their heart, that person is going to repeat it at some point. That person is going to, they can't help but process, reprocess what has gone in. by teaching and admonishing, encouraging other people. And what's another result of that is singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Okay, a heart that sings. Okay, Josue this morning is talking about a heart that is experiencing the presence of God. I'm keenly aware of God's presence in my life. I sense the Holy Spirit filling my life with joy and peace and love as I open my heart to Him. That is a spiritual principle. But notice what he says. He keeps going. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, he goes down here and he gives us some categories, and he's going to touch on certain relationships that would have been represented in that church at Colossae. Okay, and some of these relationships, maybe we don't know much about because we haven't experienced them yet, or they're not a part of our culture. And I'll show you what I mean by that. But don't miss what Paul is saying here. He's saying, what are some areas that the peace of God should rule and the word of Christ should dwell? What he says is richly, abundantly. Okay, listen, get this. Okay, the truth of God is not isolated to just some type of teaching or doctrine. Okay, it is not meant to just sit in our brains so that when somebody asks a Bible trivia question, we can shoot off an answer and, well, I knew that answer. No. The word of God is meant to affect the way that we live. Okay, and Paul's going to say, okay, look, the peace of God needs to rule your life. Okay, you need to mortify your flesh. Yes, absolutely. But you need to allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. But how, Paul? Okay, how? Give us some examples. And so he's going to do that. Notice what he says in the next verse. He says, wives, submit unto your husbands as is fit in the Lord. Okay, so the first category that he gives us here is about the home. He says, how does this play out, Paul? How does the word of Christ need to dwell and affect us in an abundant fashion so that it seeps down into our relationships and to our illustrations at home? And that the first one here is wives. And he says, wives ought to submit to their husbands. In God's order, He has made the husband the head of the home and is most responsible for how Christ is lifted up or not. And we could talk a lot about this, and certainly understand this, as our culture moves, and I was talking to Miss Christine about this yesterday, as our culture, okay, what our society is comfortable with moves further away from the Bible, the more you and I ask questions. Why is that? Because what we see is not in accordance with the Word of God. So what you get now is when it used to be society maybe understood this, maybe they weren't believers, but there was a cultural aspect to where, yeah, that's just how it works in the American home. Well, yeah, that's just, maybe they weren't believers, but it was culturally acceptable. It was in society, it was a success. Acceptable, and so a lot of people didn't question it. Well, now as society continues to move further away from the Bible, there's more and more things in our society where people are popping up, and sometimes Christians who say, "Well, I mean, is the Bible really on point with that? I look around and I don't see that in families." You have to understand where the direction the world's going. And where the church and where the believers and where the Bible has always been. And this is one of those things. So wives ought to submit to their husbands. Submission is something, though, that all of us should do for each other. You see that Ephesians 5 and verse 21. It says, submit to one another. Okay, so there's an element which all of us should be doing this. Notice the caveat that he puts on the end of this command here when he talks about it. But he says wives should only submit as is what is fitting. And it says, as is fit in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, if a husband was to tell a wife to do something that was against the word of God, she is not bound to obey that. Okay, she is not bound to submit in that situation. And the Lord makes that clear, as he does with other commands. And we see that as well. Let's keep going. Notice the next category. He says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So he talks about wives. He talks about husbands now. And, you know, the interesting thing here, why does the husband need to be told to love his wife? That just seems natural, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that just seem like, well, if you're married, that kind of goes along with it, right? Well, don't miss the kind of love that Paul is advocating for here, okay? there were different kinds of loves in Greek culture. Okay, this is agape love. And so what Paul is trying to communicate to the husbands here is, listen, make sure that when you love your wife, it is not with some, you know, chippy brotherly love, hey, how's it going, you know, with your wife, or some just simply lustful, some type of lustful love. No, this is a, hey, all-encompassing, this is a sacrificial, this is I give myself for you type of love. It's a high standard. He says, don't have anything less. But that's what the word of Christ dwelling in you richly looks like as a wife, as a husband, in the home. And he continues on, and we're going to have to wrap this up. But he says, children, he says here, children, verse 20, obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. All right, our time is done, and so we're going to have to go. But Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our Sunday school time. We thank you, God, for what you're teaching us about what it means for your word to dwell in us richly. And Father, I pray that we be obedient to that process in our lives. Lord, there are many things that we invest in, or there are many things that we spend our time doing. But there is nothing that has a better weight or is more profitable than when we allow you and your word to affect us. And Lord, I pray that as we do our devotions this week, as we spend time with you, as we consider you, Lord, your Holy Spirit would work in us in a special way, Lord, that would just inspire us to want to do the right thing in every situation. And Lord, especially in the home, as was illustrated here, Lord, there were difficult home situations in Colossae. Lord, there were imperfect homes in that church. And Lord, our church is no different. And Lord, many times it's not someone else, it's us that's the problem. Lord, I pray that each one of us this week would commit to allowing the word of Christ to dwell in us abundantly. And Lord, we would see that affect the way that we live at home. Speak to our hearts in the morning service, Lord. We do love you, and we do thank you for how we've been challenged this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.